internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Today's events may seem unrelated, but if you look closely, you'll discover the same thing that time did. They all took place October 28th.
I love Lucy. And
it's Caribbean Columbus Day. On this day in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered Cuba. Things got considerably drier today in 1919. That's when the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution took effect. You know, the one that prohibited the sale of alcoholic beverages throughout the United States. Yeah, yeah, prohibition. On this day in 1997, the roller coaster known as the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained a record 337.17 points a day after losing a record 554.26 points. We call those the good old days. It's back time for October 28th. This is your announcer speaking.
A local man is shot with a girly pistol. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Local man Marcus Travano was deeply ashamed today after being shot in the arm with a girly pistol by an unknown assailant. According to Travano, the ladylike 22 caliber Smith & Wesson might as well have had pink lace on its dainty little handle.
It's embarrassing. I could tell the ER doctors were trying not to laugh. It looks like I was shot by someone's grandma.
Travano hopes the next time he's shot in the arm, it's with a manly gun that blows his shoulder clean off. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
You're too old for costumes, but too young to resist free candy. So you don a hooded sweatshirt, grab an empty pillowcase, and start ringing doorbells at 9:30 p.m.
And you don't even say trick or treat.
You've got us by the short hairs, Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener. Because if you don't get a Snickers bar, we'll get a dozen eggs smashed against our vinyl siding.
You're a little extortionist.
And don't even think about smashing our pumpkins.
Where do you live anyway? Yeah.
So the next time you're power washing pumpkin pieces off your car because you said no to four pimply thugs in street clothes, raise your hose in salute to Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener, a real American hero.
Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
I swear if I catch these little creeps, they're dead.
Now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, Susie, and welcome to Tuesday, October 28th.
Yes, it is. Hello.
And you seem a little better today. You're not as sick anymore?
I'm still sick, but I'm finally I'm getting used to being sick, and life has no choice but to go on. So
it's back to drinking and everything?
Well, I just actually had one glass of wine last night to chase my sleeping pills.
Oh, that's... excuse me. I was going to say wow, but...
Yes. Actually, when you sent me the email last night with the author we had on today, and you're like, okay, now go back to your box of wine. I almost took a picture of it with me in the glass being like, hey. But yeah, I couldn't find my camera and whatever.
So, listen, you brought with us a great guest, it seems.
I did,
this morning.
I did.
Why don't you introduce her to us?
This is one of my oldest friends that I actually still have... Actually, probably the oldest friend that I still keep in touch with. We grew up together in, kind of all over the country.
Yeah. And you both ended up in L.A.
Yes.
I recruited her.
Oh,
she did
I
recruit
see.
Me. But her name is Chase, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, Miss Chase.
Hello,
Hi,
Chase.
Hi, Sam. I'm Chase.
Yeah, she just figured out my name 2 minutes ago.
I know.
I did. It was exciting because until now you were, hey, you.
Oh, I see. Okay. So now there's a name behind the face. So how long have you been in L.A.? Sorry.
Oh, boy. I've been in Los Angeles off and on for about 6 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And did you grow up where Susie was in New York?
Kind of. I'm originally from Southern Florida, but...
Whoops, we got a car alarm.
Well, Susie's here. She's not trying to steal anything.
Yeah.
No. Okay, well, thanks.
She doesn't do that.
No, never.
Never.
No. Yeah, she's a good girl. Go ahead. So, Florida?
I grew up in Florida, but the way Susie and I met was We were child models together.
Yes, oh, yes. Wow.
When we were 11 in New York, and both of us were working in New York, and they couldn't get us to behave. They were trying to wrangle us, and it was near impossible.
Really? Basically, we were doing this modeling job together, and, you know, at the age of 10 for me and the age of 11 for Chase, like, we were professional child models.
Yeah.
You know, like, we went to work, and I mean, it was like our real job.
Like, we did Vogue Bambini.
Really?
Yeah. Let me be clear here. We were not messing around.
We were not messing around. Like, we were serious child models. And all
we
of a sudden,
knew Peggy Sirota.
But all of a sudden, Chase and I met on this one job, and for some reason, they made me hold a Barney lunchbox. And I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm not holding a Barney lunchbox. I'm 10. Like, I'm not 2. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
And so Chase just started making fun of me on the set. And I was just like, all right, little girl, you want to fight? And so next thing you know, we were both, our agents were called. Like, we had to be reprimanded by our parents, by our agents. So we were both almost fired from the job.
Really?
It was awesome.
Because we were just acting up so much.
Yeah.
Not much has changed, though.
Not much has changed, no.
Are you the same age?
More or less. I think I'm like 6 months older than Susie is.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
But so pretty much the same age.
Nice, nice. So how did you end up in L.A.? What happened?
Oh, my goodness. I was going to school in New York.
Columbia.
Wow, really?
I dropped out of Columbia.
Oh, excuse me. Why did you drop out?
You know, I was there during 9/11. I was there pursuing my pre-med work, and I just got to this point where I was working in the hospital near school, and I was teaching a lot, and I was just exhausted and had no time for myself and just generally upset about the state of affairs in New York.
Yeah.
And I just needed to leave. Yeah. And I couldn't think of another place to go, literally.
I see. So it wasn't the school you didn't like, it's just you wanted to get out of New York.
You know what? I absolutely loved my time there. And more specifically, I actually went to Barnard. So and I did math and art history. So I actually almost finished my math degree. My math degree was done across the street at Columbia. So,
geez, a math degree by a beautiful girl, man.
Yes.
Never heard of that one before.
She's actually beautiful and smart.
Yeah. Actually, there's this really amazing actress. Seems like a cool girl, but she actually also went to Columbia, named Rachel Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was a math econ at Columbia. Oh. I did not like economics. I did take some. I hated it.
Yeah. But what's the attraction to math? Did you always like it?
Yeah. You know, I actually didn't. If you told me at the age of 16 that I was going to be a math major in college, I would have laughed in your face and probably spit on you because I hated it. I mean, barring the geometry class I was in that I got an A in, I did not get an A in math until I got to calculus. But I was really young when I got to calculus. So I think I generally was good at it. I just didn't really discover that I had a proclivity towards it.
What do you mean? So you took calculus before other people your age?
Yes.
Okay, that's a short answer.
Thank you, Susie.
Jess gave me my first bra.
I did. I gave Susie her first bra. More importantly.
What size was it?
It wasn't cup.
It wasn't even a size.
It was sort of like, it was like
a sports bra?
Kind of. It was sort
it was
of,
like a training bra.
It was not kind of. It was a training bra. It was sort of like a wife beater tank top with like a, it cut short below the bust line with an elastic. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, I'm not entirely sure why we wore them.
I don't know either, but all I knew is my mother wouldn't buy me a bra because I didn't need one. And to this day, I still don't. I still don't think I would fill out that training bra.
That's not true. She's fine.
Sam just totally leaned over and looked at your boobs.
Yeah, I need to look at her boobs.
Oh, come on, guys.
So I know what to discuss. No, I mean, I don't sit here looking at boobs, but I had to intelligently talk about your chest.
Sam, I have to tell you one thing about her. I'm sorry, Chase. I'm sorry I'm going here. But she has got the most perfect breasts you have ever seen.
It looks like it, man.
They are. What are I think they're actually, are they D's or
you
C's?
You two are not on my insurance plan.
I'm telling you, they are like round and supple and full and perky with like this amazing perk. And then the nipple just like falls perfectly right in like the center.
Do we need to know this, Susie?
Yes.
Okay. Because you're making me crazy now. I'm going to start playing with myself.
You know, I'm actually looking for a photographer to immortalize them so that after I have children, I really want to get married and have kids. I hope my poor boyfriend isn't listening to this.
Well,
but I really do want to get married and eventually have kids. And I really want to immortalize them before I do have children because I guess they change a lot after you have kids.
And they really are so perfect.
Well, I'm a pretty good picture taker.
Yeah, not you.
No? I guess it has to be somewhat attractive to
you. No, I'm thinking she wants to have it like bronzed. You know what I mean? Maybe have like a bronze down of her
bust. I don't necessarily need bronze. I think I would like, you know, maybe like a stuffed animal
what is
toy.
That thumping?
I think it might be my shoe falling off my foot.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd like maybe like stuffed animal toys like made after my boobs in addition to some photography.
Sounds good.
You can- That just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Imagine all these like little kids out there being like, Mama, I want a chase doll.
They actually already exist. Not chase dolls, not yet, but the booby dolls definitely do.
Really?
Absolutely.
I know they have Potty Scotty.
So how about if you become like a breast model or something? Do they have that?
I'm not interested.
It's called Victoria's Secret.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do diets. Diet's a four-letter word.
Diet? Oh, you need to diet for that for those things?
I think I so. See. Okay. Yeah, I'm 5. What am I? 5'5" on a tall day, mm-hmm. and like I don't know, probably like 120 pounds. I eat. We just went to McDonald's.
Okay. Well, you know what? When I look at you, I don't think fat. Okay. So relax. Like,
I don't think I'm fat either, but I'm not like this.
Not super stick thin.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be. You know, I mean, to be attractive.
No, I totally agree. Actually, it's something that bothers me about the modeling world. I feel like it's very dishonoring of femininity.
Yeah. But you know what? We discussed it with Susie, and I think it's because – I think there's a reason for this. I think the camera does put on a few more pounds, you know. So I think if you're skinny and with those few pounds, you look good, you know. And I think that's what it is because most people are not attracted to those really skinny girls. I know I'm not.
I think that the camera picks up angles. And I think that angles are more often present when people are very, very thin. So you get like the shadows and the shading.
Yes.
So I actually don't think it's, you know, strictly attributable to a weight.
Mm.
But having said that, I think that it's the framing of what beauty is in our society that's problematic. Like, why wouldn't we look at someone who's maybe a little bit softer or a little bit more muscular and say, that's beautiful. And, you know, the 10 and that 10
Well,
pounds.
Some people do, you know. I mean, some people do find that beautiful.
We had a plus size, plus size model on here the other day. And we actually got a ton of phone calls from
each
her.
Each boob was bigger than your head. I swear to you.
It seriously was.
It really was.
But, you know, even that's an objectification of women and not healthy either.
Mm. How are we objectifying if we're just stating facts? I mean, she, you know, we didn't put any judgment on her.
Oh, no,
you know,
no.
In fact, we thought it was great.
No, I definitely agree with that. But I'm saying having a plus size model on here, the fact that she epitomizes beauty at an a much, much larger weight than what might be considered a typical model.
Right.
You know, it's just it's a different extreme. It's the other extreme.
Exactly. But she did...
But still beautiful.
Yeah, she did make big women look beautiful, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, to a certain extent, you know, although she was, by her own admission, 250 pounds. So that's a lot.
Is that a lot?
That's
a
lot.
I think so, yeah.
That's a very lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough to give you a really big ass.
And really big boobs.
Oh, you're only 50 pounds away from 300. I mean, when you think 300,
but she's only
50
pounds away from 200. And I knew these girls in college. Like, okay, so.
But I think those extra 50 are really a lot.
It's certainly a lot to be carrying, but, I mean, it depends how tall you are. It depends on your bone structure.
Right.
I mean, there are some people who carry 5 pounds and they look like they're cows. But then there are people who carry an extra 30 pounds and you're just like, really? I don't notice that.
Yeah. I will agree with it. It does depend on the person and their structure.
Yeah. But I definitely think you and Susie and women like you, you don't really need to be concerned too much about being skinny because you look good without it, you know?
Well, you're not in the biz or the industry, and neither am I anymore. You know, that's why I'm always like, thank God I'm on radio.
Yeah.
You know, I could
She always jokes she has a face for radio, but I think she's beautiful.
Yeah, she is. Okay, now let's take a call. This might be our guest. They didn't leave me a number, so they'll probably be calling in. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie. You're on the air.
I have Dr. Woodson Merrill on the line for you.
Yes, please.
Dr. Merrill, you're on with LA Talk Radio.
Yes. Dr. Merrill, good morning to you.
Nice to be on your show.
Hi, yes. Dr. Merrill.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And you wrote a book called The Source, and we thought it was pretty fascinating. The first thing I wanted to bring up is the way this book was really promoted is we have an epidemic in the country of people being very tired.
Yes.
Can you talk a little about this? Why do we have this this thing going on? Why are so many people so tired?
Yeah, the incidence of it is estimated 75 million people. It's one of the top five conditions that patients try to bring up with their physician, the physicians don't have a very good answer. Before the recent, you know, economic collapse of the last 6 months, the studies in Calmer Times show that literally 35% of workers complain not of fatigue, but extreme fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I've just got to be double that now. I think that there are multiple factors for this. We have a very hurried lifestyle. There's not a focus on health and healthy lifestyles. We feel disconnected. There's high levels of stress. The food industry, we've been pushing foods with lots of high sugar and caloric content and sizes. So every aspect you look at for health, we're really becoming much more deficient over the last few decades.
Yeah. You know, we have a pretty bad telephone connection. Can you guys try and call back in? Would you like to call back in directly? Because for some reason...
Okay, let me call you because I...
Okay, there we
actually,
go.
That just got a lot better.
Yeah, now it's better. Now it's better.
Okay,
whatever
good.
You were doing. Yes. Good.
Are you recording this?
Yes.
You're live on the air.
You're on the air.
I'm live on the air. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So, you came up with a program to address some of these problems. And so tell us a little bit about this. I mean, what can a person do to really conquer that fatigue that's, you know, I mean, I'm tired all the time. I know I'm not getting enough sleep. Is there something that I can do?
Well, there are six categories, and certainly getting enough sleep is one of them. The studies are very clear. At least four studies in the last 2 years that we need 8 hours of sleep to get optimal rest. So I tell people, look, at least 3 days a week, try to get 8 hours sleep. Go to bed by 10 or 11 and sleep until 6 or 7. But there are other aspects of your life that you can make up for it in some ways, never completely, but exercising enough, taking a brisk walk 3 times a week to double your energy. Stress is perhaps the biggest and most important factor. I've always said that 70% of my patients who come in are stressed. Stress is either their main problem or it's a big part of their other problems. And now it's got to be like 100, more like 110%. Managing stress is extremely important, and I think it's very important for you to be aware of what your stresses are. It's not so much the stresses that you have in your life; it's how you react to those stresses. And the first week of the 21-day plan, we have people keep a stress log to become aware of the stresses. Because the problem with stress is when you feel you're not in control. And to identify those things you can change in your life so you begin to feel less stress. It dramatically improves your energy when there's not as much stress in your life.
I mean, I know personally for me, like I've been having a hard time getting enough sleep lately as well, like the rest of America. But even when I have enough time, like I have a solid 8-hour block of time, you know, I'll actually get in my bed and I'll close my eyes and I'll try and fall asleep. But it's actually the stress that's keeping me from falling asleep. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm wasting this time sleeping. I need to be doing X, Y, and Z. And then I start like freaking out. And then the next thing you know, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning and I've got to get up and I've gotten no sleep again. And then like that results in a really unproductive day.
Yeah.
There's no way you can have proper energy or even cognitive function during the day when you're doing that. Perhaps the most common problem, though, even people can get to sleep. They wake up 4 a.m. and then that's it. They're up for the day. The thing is that we talk a lot about doing mind-body exercises and about focusing on your breath, because you can actually use your body to help relax your mind. And doing some form of a meditative exercise when you first wake up in the morning, and also at nighttime when you're having trouble sleeping, just go to the breath. If you don't really feel comfortable even with the concept of meditation, just focus on your breath, slow breaths, count of 4 in, pause, count of 6 out, pause, and you'll see the thoughts coming in, but don't fight them. Just let them come in, then let them go, and keep focusing on the breath till eventually the thoughts won't come. It's really a mind control exercise to allow the thoughts to eventually vanish until you're in a state of peace without thought, and at that point you can drift off to sleep so much more easily.
That sounds actually really
yeah,
quite soothing.
Yeah.
I know, I feel very relaxed.
I'm ready to go home and try a nap.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Worrell is really comforting.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The other thing you could do during the daytime is actually, I like everyone to start with a 2-minute breath work when they first wake up, because it's actually the most stressful time of the day. The highest incidence of heart attacks by 400% is first thing in the morning.
Very
Whoa.
Interesting.
I can probably see that.
Really? So why does that happen?
Because part of it is the fact that all these subconscious thoughts and the worries are going to come out all day long are piling up in your mind as you're waking up in the morning.
That's
and that's
right.
Why I love to have people sit at the edge of their bed when they first wake up and just do a simple 2-minute breathing exercise. And not that 2 minutes is a miracle cure. So all throughout the day, we're all shallow breathers. I like to tell people, sit up, expand your chest, take four slow deep breaths, count of four in, pause, count of six out, pause. Four breaths, it makes a huge difference. You actually literally feel your nervous system calming down. If you do that all day long, your body will actually help your mind relax.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So briefly describe to us the 21-day plan. Obviously, you don't have to get into the detail, but how can someone expect to get into this three-week program and actually come out feeling a lot better?
The thing is, you feel better within the first day or two. So the 3 weeks is really to solidify it, so it really becomes a permanent part of your life about how to eat properly, get proper movement, exercise, sleep better, drink enough fluids, reduce caffeine, reduce fats. All those things we take you through. The first week focuses on those things that dramatically increase your energy almost right away, like movement and breath work we talked about, reducing stress, getting more rest. The second week is about detoxifying and removing those things from your life that drain your energy, that consume your energy. And the third week is basically putting it all together. So it's a three-week process, but within the first couple of days, we even though we take baby steps and make it simple, the results are dramatic from doing some very simple things. It really is common sense in life. So it's just that really most people, most of us don't have common sense. We know we should sleep enough, but we just don't do it. We're on the computer late and we're busy worrying and thinking. We just need to focus on more healthy practices. And the book combines the medical science that proves that we need to do this with very practical tips on how to get it done.
I sleep with my computer like right next to my head and my cell phone in my hand.
So no,
you're saying I should turn them off and put them far away.
And Dr. Merrill, she's clutching a cup of very large cup of black tea. Just so you know.
Yeah. Black tea is good. It's better. Green tea is the best because it has the most antioxidants in it, and it has some stuff called theanine that actually helps the nervous system relax. One interesting thing about coffee is the fact that half of the population are slow metabolizers, which means it can take them up to 6 hours for half of the caffeine to be gone, which means if you drink a double latte at 8 a.m., by 8 p.m., there still could be a quarter of that in your system. You could have half a cup of coffee at 8 p.m. It'd be like coming home exhausted and then drinking half a cup of coffee and expect to try to get to sleep, and that's just from your morning coffee.
Mm.
So that's how people try going off caffeine for a while, see if you don't feel significantly better rest and more energy. Drink more fluids, but non-caffeinated beverages.
Okay.
Right. Now, your program is pretty much integrated. There's definitely it has to do with eating, it has to do with exercise, it has to do with meditation.
It's a whole lifestyle.
Yes, that's what it seems like.
It's about getting back to our roots, and part of it is about feeling connected too. I think about we're very disconnected, disjointed society, and we're disconnected from nature as well. We're disconnected from where our food comes from. So it's about appreciating nature, pets, plants, music. For those of you who are spiritual, connecting with a spiritual practice and a higher power, all these have been shown to dramatically improve health and energy.
Dr. Merrill, it's pretty impressive that you're a Western trained medicine practitioner. This is Chase, by the way. I'm the guest on the show. How on earth did you find or stumble upon this holistic approach to medicine? Because it seems very balanced between Eastern and Western.
Yeah, the book is a combination of 40 years as a medical scientist and 20 years in practice. But really, I went into medical school. Before medical school, I was doing yoga and meditation, and it's a real science jock. I was really curious to see if there's Western science to back up these Asian health practices.
Was it because the chicks were hot?
Probably has something to do with it.
Because I noticed your wife is also is a healer of some sort. Is that correct?
She's actually a health science writer. She's been, for 15 years, she's been writing about health science for consumer magazines, particularly women's magazines, and she knows a lot about particularly toxicity. So she actually did a lot of the research, and she actually, if I wrote it, would probably come out more, maybe professors would like it, but she can write in the consumer voice, and it's her writing and my voice, so the two of us working together on this book. So we're definitely equal partners in this book. It was a fantastic process.
So Dr. Merrill, the chicks were hot.
Well, yeah, I'm sure
you're in LA, of course.
At least one of them was.
Well, this is amazing. So, when was the book published? Is that recent?
The book came out in September, and it's available everywhere now. You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, your local, these things called your local bookstore that hopefully exist in communities. And you can also go to my website, if I can mention it. It's my name, woodsonmerrill.com, woodsonmerrill.com. And we also have a blog and other information on the website.
And can I also point out that you are endorsed by Donna Karen, who I think is amazing. And she, I read a few years ago that she got on this massive health kick. So, my goodness, that's a pretty neat endorsement to have. She's a businesswoman and a mom and a family mm-hmm. member, and like her resume goes on and on.
Yeah.
She's very spiritual, very into yoga. We're actually, her foundation is actually funding a project at my hospital. I'm chairman of the Department of Integrative Medicine at Beth Israel Hospital in New York. We're actually going into the cancer floor and literally using practices to completely transform the cancer care experience. We're creating an optimal healing environment for hospitalized cancer patients to completely change their experience in the hospital. And that's literally funded by Dawn and her foundation. She's seriously into health and healthcare, and actually has made a commitment to try to change healthcare. It's
yeah.
been wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, this is amazing, and we congratulate you on the book. I'm definitely going to try and adopt this lifestyle because, you know, God knows I'm tired all the time, and it's hard to live like that.
It
you know?
Really
I mean,
is.
You're not at your optimum at all during the day, you know. So, this is very nice. Dr. Woodson Morrell, of course, with the book The Source, and you can get it anywhere. And, of course, the website is woodsonmorrell.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and all the best with the book.
Yes, thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good luck with everything.
Thanks a lot. At least you're out in L.A. where there's a beautiful, easier to get an outdoor lifestyle than there is here in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Come on, you've got Central Park.
Yeah, not quite the same, but regardless. Okay, all the best to you, and say
right,
hi to New York. Okay,
bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, did you notice, like, all these authors are from the East Coast? I don't know why that is.
Because they're all education. They're all wicked smart back there. No.
Yeah. I think a lot of the fiction probably comes from here, but a lot of the nonfiction stuff does seem to come from New York.
That's interesting, actually. You know, yeah. You get a lot of people that come out to L.A. and, like, they've got the dream of finding the perfect man and this and that, and then they don't find it. So then they write, like, they're a crappy love novel.
Yeah, you know, like the Jackie Collins and all that stuff.
Wait a
stuff,
second,
you know?
Though. That's not entirely true. If there's actually a doctor named Brew Joy who's into...
Okay, there's one exception.
No, but there's...
No, I'm sure there's some smart
people. And there's actually my cousin who is the vice chancellor at Stanford Medical School who wrote books as well. Mm. But there's just fewer, I think, big learning research institutions on the West Coast than on the East Coast.
Yeah, but I don't know that writing necessarily has to correlate with that, but maybe it does. Who knows? You know, but, you know, I mean, it's not to say we don't have smart people on this side, but maybe it's... I think there's more culture back east, wouldn't you say?
More culture back east and a lot of dreamers out here.
Yeah. I don't know. I think LA kind of creates a lot of culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different, though. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, much more newer and forward-thinking, whereas I think New York and, like, the East Coast is much more traditional.
No, we're developing the Mexican culture here. That's what we're working on in L.A.
And the hippy-dippy culture.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a plastic something involved in there. There's just so many plastic surgeons in the city and so, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot
and
of plastic
culture.
You know how they recycle plots at graveyards every however many, like, hundreds
ew,
of years?
Ew, ew.
They're not going to be able to do that in Los Angeles because people won't decompose.
Oh, my God. We're going to be alive forever.
Yeah, I went there.
Do they really recycle grave plots?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't think they do.
All right, Gullible's written somewhere in the room. Oh, Jesus.
Susie falls for everything.
What? I
know she doesn't.
I trust the things that people... Shut up. I trust the things that people in my life say. You know what I mean? I always think, maybe people know... Well, obviously, people know a lot more about everything else than I do. Mm. Therefore, why shouldn't I believe everything that people say?
That's true.
I just make it up.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
If I don't know, I just make it up. That's why I'm living in L.A., not New York.
Yeah. An L.A. kind of girl, huh?
Kinda,
Very, very imaginative over here.
Yeah.
Aw, thanks, Susie.
You're welcome, Chasey.
So are you.
So, Chase, so what do you
oh,
do
back
for...
back on me?
Yeah, of course. That's why you're here. So what do you do? I mean, what do you do during the day? Are you a student? Do you work? Are you an actress like everybody else? What is it?
I do so many different things. The short answer to that question is I'm an artist and an educator.
Oh.
So that's my professional life, because obviously I do a lot of other things during the day than just be professional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an artist and an educator. I write and I act, and I'm also starting to do this multimedia form of art, which I probably should not claim as a as a profession yet, because
yeah.
I have yet to receive a paycheck for it.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to.
No. Well, you know, I actually...
Especially when you're an artist. You know, an artist does not do art for money.
No. No, you don't. Actually, it's become kind of a compulsion. I used to really be into baking. I still am into baking. Mm. Actual, like, baked goods. Susie's
really?
Had some of it.
Well, you better send us some.
If you're lucky.
Yes, if
you're
I'm
lucky.
Yeah.
No, but I wanted to start making things that I couldn't eat, just or necessarily, like, feed people with. Like, I wanted to start making things that actually had some kind of meaning involved in it. I think baking can have meaning in it, but I wanted something more lasting that didn't mold over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that necessary for food?
That it mold over?
Yeah. That it has meaning.
No, but I definitely think that you can... Well, like cake.
You can heal the soul with all kinds of foods.
Like
Sam.
Chicken soup. Yeah.
I have chicken soup that I made yesterday, actually. I made it from scratch. I actually made the broth from a chicken that I cooked last week in the slow cooker, and then I made the chicken soup yesterday. As soon as I left here, I was like, I need some goddamn chicken soup that's homemade to make myself feel better, and I am feeling better.
Can I share something about Susie that you probably don't know?
Of course.
Susie grew up on a farm. Do you know this?
You grew up on a farm, Susie?
Well, for about 8 years.
Oh, I never knew that. I never brought it up.
And even though she probably comes off like a wild woman, she's probably one of the most salt of the earth individuals I've ever met in my life. She still has. I outed her. I'm sorry. She still has these letters that I wrote her when I was like when we were like 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think there actually was that part of that letter was like an instruction manual for the bra that I gave her, like where she puts her head in the arm and that the anyway. No. But that doesn't surprise me at all. She's Susie's going to make an amazing wife and mom one day. She's definitely a great sister.
I'm sure.
Thank you.
Will you make a great mother and daughter?
I'm certainly going to try my darndest.
Yeah.
It's, you know what's funny? When I moved to Los Angeles, I didn't stop taking classes. I started taking a lot of seminars on consciousness theory. Like I love consciousness theory.
Hippy dippy shit.
No, not hippy dippy. Actually, consciousness theory is kind of where psychology, the science of psychology and spirituality shake hands.
Mm.
Which is
she's a witch.
I am. Among other things,
I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll talk about the witchcraft.
Seriously, you know his, but people
his
have
being who you've got a
doctor. Sorry, Dr. Merrill. I'm picking up Dr. Merrill's book. He touches upon it, and actually, on your note, Miss Susie, I'm pointing at Susie. On your note, Miss Susie, I think people are confused as to what Wicca is all about. It's about honoring nature.
Okay, well, explain it to me, because I really don't... I hear witch hippy-dippy shit, and that's just...
I think it depends on the practitioner. I mean, look at how many people abuse the practice of Kabbalah. You know, they walk around with their little red string on their wrist, and they're like, I'm a Kabbalah practitioner. You know, I just don't think that qualifies you. Red string around your wrist?
What about drinking the Kabbalah water?
Oh, you know...
It's such
I wouldn't
fucking
do that.
Bullshit. It's such fucking bullshit. I went through the
what
Kabbalah
is,
for
what
a
is
year.
Bullshit?
The water, the Kabbalah water and stuff. And
but
the
so
red
is the water in the church. Did you know that the most...
Of course, it's bullshit.
It's the dirtiest water, literally.
I'm sure.
I don't know. Sure. No, I disagree. That there's something in that water because it burns me when I touch it.
Really?
I think that's the devil incarnate.
No, I'm gullible.
No, I'm just kidding. My mother at least told me. She's like, you can't walk into that church. It'll burn you. I'm like, thank you very much, Mother.
Isn't she married to a born-again Christian?
Yeah. After having her marriage annulled, which technically makes me a bastard. I don't know how I feel about this, but...
Susie, I'll claim you.
Thank you.
You can be my daughter.
I'm looking to be adopted for anyone out there.
Yeah, I'll adopt you because you're over 18. I'm not financially responsible
I don't know
for
if,
you anymore.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you can afford me.
Hey, that's my line.
I know.
That's what I tell men that are obnoxious. Okay,
this is the fucking most awful thing she ever does. We'll be out at a bar or something, and like some guys will come up and they're just like, "Hey, babies, like, what are you guys doing?" And she looks them up and down. And she'll be like, "You can't afford me."
Hold on. In my defense, that's only if they're being gross and overly aggressive. I feel the need to put the big fat hand in their face, and that's the only thing they'll listen to. They think that they can buy you.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen.
It really is hysterical, though, Susie, to watch it actually happen.
Susie, you and I both know that if all it took was money to make us happy, we'd be married by now.
True,
but
true.
Fortunately for us, we require, you know, an emotional connection, really
love,
good sex.
Attention.
Love, really good sex. A lot of fun and understanding, loyalty, and monogamy.
Really good sex.
And really good sex. We kind of need a little bit of worshiping.
A little bit of worshiping.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. We don't require an altar. But we do require a little bit of worshiping and really good sex.
Okay, what does worshiping mean to you? What would a guy have to do to worship you?
Mm. You know, I have a boyfriend who's totally adorable. Mm-hmm. So to me, the way that he is totally adorable in my mind is, okay, this is so cute. The first weekend, I have the biggest grin on my face right now. I feel I can't even talk. Okay, the first weekend I was in Arizona visiting him. Mm-hmm. He brought me grapes and bagel and toast in bed, and he ate it with me. It's really cute.
Oh, I mean, if this is all it takes to buy a woman's heart, man, that's easy.
And he teases me too. It's really cute. He makes fun of my foibles, and like, and he does such a good job of it too, because he's not mean. Mm-hmm. He actually makes me laugh about them. I think that makes me a better person.
I think you and I both need someone that makes us take ourselves a little bit less seriously sometimes.
Susie, I think. Okay.
You don't take yourself seriously.
I take myself
seriously.
So seriously.
I love you, Susie. You know, actually, though, Susie, in the last, in the last year, really since she started this radio show, because she's always been absolutely hilarious and entertaining, she's really fallen in love with this.
Really?
And it's really nice to see. And her life is kind of coming together. She's in school. Mm-hmm. She has, you know, can I tell him your ambitions? Does he know?
I don't know what they
are. The sex therapist.
And you know something?
Oh, yes, yes.
I actually think that she is going to be so good at that because she comes from such a repressive Christian background. Mm-hmm. And P.S., not all Christianity is repressive. I don't think that at all. Mm. I think that the
Did you feel that at home, Susie?
Oh, yes. They made me cross my legs.
Really?
and ironically, like, that's not even proper. It's supposed to be knees together, ankles crossed.
I have a bad hip joint, though, so like, if my legs are uncrossed, they just naturally spread. But it's from all those years of ballet and having the hip injuries, so it's not my fault. So it actually, you know, my inner thought, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I have a face of disbelief on.
Yeah. She just keeps telling everybody that she has to spread her legs.
No, I'm serious. I've got a hip problem.
I know.
I was in physical therapy for like years from it and on painkillers.
She was an amazing
14.
Dancer.
Yeah.
She was.
And we're not talking pole.
No, we're talking like ballet tight wearing bun head.
Yeah, I was in the Pennsylvania School of Ballet, the rock program for a while, actually, to be an apprentice ballerina.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Do you remember when you'd come to Colorado and, like, the popular kids lived across the street from us, and we would try to be cool and smoke cigarettes, but we'd actually smoke incense? That was the only thing that
we could
smoking
light. Incense.
Sounds like fun.
And I'd like to tell you we were 10 when we did this, but we were like 13 or 14.
Oh my God.
Chase, I think I told you I was back when I was on my farm, I would actually pretend I was selling cocaine on my bicycle. Like at the age of like, I don't know, 10 through 12.
What was it? Yeah.
I would put baby powder in baggies and I would pretend to sell cocaine to like my friends.
Yes. Oh, I know, you mentioned it last week. That was funny.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, a coke dealer at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, actually, in this, I think it's the state of Pennsylvania that selling fake drugs is as illegal as selling real ones. I guess there's something about, like, the integrity of false advertising. Like, I guess the Better Business Bureau rules and regulations are extended to the law books.
You know what? It's about fucking time, because I am so sick of getting shitty drugs around here.
So what are you going to do? Sue your dealer?
Absolutely. No, I'm telling you, this one time, I was back in Massachusetts, and it was my handyman, and he started, you know, he was my coke dealer at the time, and he used to get me, like, really good shit. And then one day...
You did drugs?
Shut up. You're probably one of my... I have all these straight-edge friends. Like, Chase is one of my straight-edge friends. Like, a glass of wine a month, and she'll be, like, wasted for a week.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's
so you never been
true.
Into drugs or anything?
You know, when I was in college, I would make them.
Mm.
But I felt
you
like...
You make drugs?
Yeah, it was more of... But it wasn't
like... What kind
like,
of drugs did you make? How come I never got any? This is bullshit.
It was more of a quality control issue than anything else. I'm very untrusting. No, I really don't like substances that really alter my outlook on the world.
Yeah. Because you like your outlook.
I'm just incredibly sensitive.
Oh.
Like, incredibly sensitive. I actually don't usually drink caffeine, except I did not get my recommended 8 hours last night or the night before. Yeah. Therefore, I'm receiving a little help from Mr. T.
Yeah.
Yeah, never was really into drugs, but in college I had some guy friends who were in all my friends were engineers because I actually started as an engineer. So they were doing these micro. They were
don't
doing,
bang.
Excuse me, I'm walking out of the room. I feel stupid.
I dropped out, so I don't count.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're a potential engineer.
I'm just a big ball of potential. But they would do these encapsulation processes. So they were learning how to take material that would form like little teeny tiny little like empty balls.
Right.
Actually, you can find them in like toothpaste. You can find them in some forms of gum. Mm-hmm. You can find them in lipstick, like the lipstick that's I can't remember
like
what it
lip
is.
Lip venom?
No, but you know Philippe makes that.
Yes.
no, but the lipstick where you like put it on and then you mush your lips and then it's like color renewed. Mm-hmm. You know where the colors in the capsules. So anyway, they were learning how to use this stuff. So they would infuse it with ethanol, which is the alcohol in like tequila.
Right.
And it's a very simple, you know, organic compound they'd put in this thing and you could do a shot of it. And it would basically taste like you were, you know, drinking Jello. You know, you had to be very careful because it's really, really potent.
But you'd get seriously fucked up.
Yeah.
I need to go back and hang out with those Ivy League engineers.
Actually, you should have. I tried to hook you two up because, you know, Brian, he's so adorable. He's literally going to save the world.
Chase gives me all her sloppy seconds.
No, I don't. I never. Oh, I did kiss Avi.
Uh-huh.
But you guys just like doing drugs and going out.
And having sex.
Avi's adorable, too. He went to school with me in New York. But Brian.
He's an Israeli.
Obviously, Avi, yeah.
But Brian.
Well, you know, I know more Israelis and stuff, you know.
Sam's Israeli.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Chase is a Jew.
Yeah. I'm Jewish.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You'd never know.
Really?
I'm kidding.
How would you not know?
I'm kidding.
I haven't guilted you
because,
not once.
Because people like to make generalizations about Jews. So this was just a joke about people that make fun of Jews. That's all. Okay? Okay, she's offended. What the fuck?
I'm not offended, okay, honestly. Right.
I think she just doesn't get it.
I didn't get it. No, honestly. Okay. I think I'm tired and slow.
She's not that smart.
No, I'm really not that smart sometimes.
Yeah, no, but you know how sometimes people will say you don't look Jewish?
Yeah. Oh, I hear it all the time. Everyone thinks I'm Asian.
That's why I said it. Because
yeah,
it's
kind of bizarre.
You do look kind of Asian.
Really?
Yeah.
People tell me I look Asian too sometimes.
At first with your sunglasses I thought you were, yeah.
Really?
Or a mix, yeah.
Wow, thank you. I'm not at all though.
Yeah, no.
And I actually, it's kind of funny, especially as an actor, I don't like telling people what I am because I was on this...
You don't want to be typecast.
Well, forget typecast, but like, it's like I've played Cuban, I've played Eurasian, I've played white chick, I've played, you know, where it was...
Girl with big boobs on beach?
No, I've never played that.
I thought you did in the Australian soap opera.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was in a bikini, and my breasts were plentiful, but
breasts were plentiful. That's something I've never heard, and I'm so going to use that again. Obviously not with regards to myself, but...
Yeah. Hey, but you always have access to them, Susie. You can suck on them and stuff, you know.
Mine are hers.
No. I mean, other.
Oh.
Other,
you know, there's actually...
Perfect boobs. Yeah.
There's this amazing store in Los Angeles. I love these people. It's called Hobbs and Dobbs.
Yeah.
And at Hobbs and Dobbs, they sell all kinds of booby paraphernalia.
Mm.
I actually...
Really?
Yes. Unfortunately, my mother and one of my close girlfriends out here both had breast cancer. And as a way of kind of making them giggle, I went down there and I got them these squishy boobs. So, like, you know, like those stress balls that you squeeze?
Yeah.
Well, they're boobs. You get a pair of them.
Uh-huh.
They have pick the cup?
They
the
have
cup
a nipple.
Size?
You cannot pick the cup size.
That's crap.
They have already... They've found a manufacturer who made stuffed animal boobs. They're fuzzy boobs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, it actually makes an amazing headrest. It really supports your neck.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand why men like it so much after a long, hard day of work, you know.
Just put your head... You've got something to rest your head on.
Yeah. You have something to rest your head on.
The bosom.
You do. You totally do. It really supports the neck. But, yeah. Anyway, they have stuffed animal boobs. They have titty pasta.
Yeah.
They have
titty pasta.
They have
this reminds me. I just saw a picture of my daughter.
Tit-tacks. They do. Hobbs and Dobbs.
I just ran into a picture of my daughter in college holding a huge stuffed animal penis, colored.
Oh, Sam. Where did she go? Did she go to Berkeley? Or?
No, no. She's going up north. You know, I don't want to disclose
it.
Oh, sorry. No, no. It's fine. But no, I mean, I totally like would not expect my daughter to have a picture like that. You know,
I think she should support it.
She should what?
I said I'm glad she supports it.
Well, wait. It's a rainbow stuffed penis.
Yes.
So does that mean that she is supporting the gay rights or the penis rights or the?
I don't know what she's supporting. She's just holding a fuzzy big cock.
Where did you find this picture?
She brought back her computer, so I looked at it. I mean, it's not something that you'd be ashamed of.
You were spying on your daughter?
No, no. I mean, I had to clean up the computer, you know?
Did they teach you that in the Army?
What?
How to spy on your kids?
I don't fucking spy on my kids. I'm the best father in the world by far.
Let's get her on the phone. Okay. Actually, you do seem like you'd be a cool dad.
He really is a cool dad. I haven't met his daughter, but I love his son. His son is like...
How old's your son?
He's 15.
15 years old.
Wait, yeah. Oh my goodness.
And if he was
is he a freshman or a sophomore?
A sophomore.
Chase, mm-hmm. When Sam and I first started doing the show, we had this guest on the show, this woman who was promoting National Go Topless Day. And so Sam and I were like, hell yeah, we're going to support National Go Topless Day. Sam and I are there. And so I was actually in Vegas. I got up at like 4 in the morning to drive from Vegas furiously going like 110 miles an hour to meet Sam at National Go
Topless
Day.
Because she just had to show her boobs off to everyone.
You know,
she has really pretty boobs.
Yes.
Susie has a beautiful body.
Absolutely.
Well, so we get there and Sam has brought his 15-year-old son, and I've never met his son before, but he is the spitting image. He's just like a little miniature version.
It's mini-me.
And so I've got the two of them there, and they both have pasties on their boobs.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
His son comes right up to me, and he's like, you must be Susie. And he's like, let me see. But yeah, so
you obviously haven't had the conversation of how to get girls yet.
No, we have, but I don't think I'm very good at it, so I can't teach him very well.
Oh,
the poor kid! I'm telling you, he listens to the show sometimes, and it's like I was telling a story about how I cheated on Franz, having a threesome with two lawyers from Harvard, and he's just like, "What?"
That doesn't make it any better, Susie, that they were educated. Well,
it does too.
You know, I actually think she needs to ditch Franz.
They were cunning linguists.
I think everybody.
I've never met the guy, but like I really just feel like Susie's like so smart and so funny and so cool and so loving. And
but Franz is one of the smartest people I know.
But it's not
smart
only
does
about
not
smarts.
Make you valuable yeah.
and really
you.
Good in bed.
Okay, and that might.
And smart doesn't necessarily get you far in life either.
No, it
also
totally
does not
doesn't.
Buy it also does not buy me dinner because I'm a hungry girl.
I know. Look at me. I'm a mess.
Yeah. You know, and for you to think this is your only option for sex is pathetic.
It's not my only option for sex. I'm just sick of, like, sampling the population. I mean, I'm in statistics right now, and I mean, I have sampled a mean, M-E-A-N portion of the population.
Susie, there's three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Oh, no.
No, but Susie, it's like you're in a comfort zone right now, and I think... I don't know if there's going to be any point where you'll say, fuck it, I'm moving on, because you seem to be taking any kind of abuse from him and you keep going, you know? So,
literally.
But the thing is, what you're saying is what everybody tells Susie, because I think when people look at it objectively, they know it's a fucking dysfunctional relationship.
I just introduced him to my family. Did I tell you that?
That's because you hate your family. Susie's still trying to rebel from them. Like, I think Susie struggles with the fact that her family might actually want for her what she wants for herself.
Yeah.
And
I am not going to give them the satisfaction.
And what she hasn't discovered is that the ends might be the same, but the means are very different.
I will not give them the satisfaction. I'm going to show them. I'm going to hurt me.
Susie,
it's like I dated,
I'm not. We were not playing into this, Sam. I refuse to acknowledge this type
of
behavior.
I dated this guy.
I'm doing this as a good friend. I can't listen to this. Can you listen to this anymore?
Would you let him fucking talk?
I dated this one guy once upon a time, and the one thing he hated about me was that I smoked. And so the best thing he ever did for me was to get me to quit smoking for 2 years. And as soon as we broke up, I was like, I'll show you. I'll fucking hurt me. I'll give myself lung cancer. And I started chain smoking, like, immediately after that. And instantly, like, fell back into the habit. And that's actually the line he used. He's like, oh, yeah, that's real smart, Susie. Like, oh, I'll show you. I'll hurt me. And I was just like... Fuck!
Who is this guy?
Brian, back in Massachusetts.
Aww.
Yeah. But I know. Let's take a break. I really have to pee after drinking my extra large tea.
Definitely. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
This happens every 26 seconds on Halloween.
I'm gonna smash this pumpkin, dude.
Cool!
It won't if you use Low Jack-O-Lantern. Low Jack-O-Lantern is a state-of-the-art pumpkin theft protection system. Just place it in your jack-o'-lantern, and it does all the rest.
Ha! This pumpkin is toast!
Whoa! Put your hands up and step away from the pumpkin.
Beat it! It's the pumpkin police!
A meticulously carved pumpkin is one of your most loved possessions. Protect it, and keep it safe on your stoop until it rots into a moldy, malformed lump with Low Jack-O-Lantern.
Ah!
Tuesday in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back, and we have Chase in the studio.
Yes.
I love that name, you know?
Thank you.
Did you, when you were a kid, did people give you a hard time that you have a boy's name?
It's actually not a boy's name. It's a family name.
Oh, it is. Well, it is, yeah, but I think it sounds like a boy's name, though. No?
Maybe. I mean if you're from the South, first of all, I'm from a part of Florida that is very Southern.
Mm.
I mean, like,
lots of old money.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jews in Florida.
Don't let her talk.
I was made for this baby.
And no, but like I grew up with like friends whose names were like Celery and
Celery?
Putnam
and Peyton.
And Peyton and oh gosh.
Snot-nosed Peyton.
Oh god. She was not very nice, was she?
Nope.
Anyway.
That's actually one of my favorite things about Facebook. All of the people who were never really quite nice to me in my entire childhood.
You get to see them live.
No. Like, I see, like, the Facebook friend finder will come up and be like, oh, like, suggesting someone you may know. Let me just tell you this one story quickly.
Uh-huh.
It was a Sweet 16 birthday party. Did I tell you this? With the girl I was dancing? I don't know. Let me tell you.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay,
tell
anyway.
It again.
So, anyway, so I was at the Sweet 16 birthday party, and I was like a really skinny little girl at the time, and I was a cheerleader, so I was kind of like popular, but at the same time, the girls hated me because I was doing commercials and stuff. And
because you were cooler than all of them?
Because I was cooler than all of them. But so this one girl, she decided out of nowhere that she didn't want to be my friend anymore.
What?
And so, I know, for no reason.
It may have been something to do with the drug dealing.
Maybe. Maybe I sold her a bunk batch of baby powder. But so anyway, she came up to me while I'm slow dancing with this guy, and she starts patting me on the back, and she was like, Susie, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm so sorry for like being mean to you, like can we be friends again? And she's patting me on the back, and I was like, I would love to still be friends with you, Amy. Okay, sure. 2 seconds later, my girlfriend, who is like bigger and stronger, she kind of protected me. Mm-hmm. She came up and she ripped something off my back. That fucking bitch came up and patted a bloody maxi pad to my back in the middle of this Sweet 16 birthday party. And just yesterday, she sent me a friend request on Facebook.
What does it deny?
I know. And, you know, the same thing happened with another girl in cheerleading. Like, she used to hate me. And so she was going to be the base. And I was the one, because I was skinny, like, that would go up in the, you know, be thrown up in all the stunts. And so because she hated me so much, she threw me up, and she forgot to catch me. Forgot being the operative word. And she let me fly from the sky and land on my arm, snap my arm in half, and break my wrist. I have been denying her friend requests for the past year.
Really? She's been trying?
She's been trying and trying and trying. And I'm like, deny. Yeah.
Can I give you a story of redemption? This might make you feel better.
Sure.
I feel like Susie and I have this relationship where if she, God forbid, has a misfortune, like if something good happens to me, she'll be happy for me, because I know when things go well for Susie, I'm happy for Susie. I was on the cheerleading squad when I was a sophomore in high school, and I was dating the quarterback of
how cliche
team.
Yeah, how cliche.
Oh, he was
I knew
he was
that's what you
guy.
Was gonna say. Yeah,
no,
of course.
But he's sure. You know, he was a good guy. He was not one of those like jerks at all. Like, I still talk to him on occasion. But anyway, this awful girl on the cheerleading squad pantsed me on the football field
in front of
the entire football team. And I was initially mortified, but I had really cute panties on that day, I realized. I was really kind of popular for a minute there.
I'm sure, oh my God.
My boyfriend was like, why is everyone telling me you were wearing really great panties today, Chase? I was like, is my skirt that short? No, I was wearing bloomers, Ben. I don't understand.
And you've had such a great ass your whole life, too. Like, seriously. You make any kind of panties look good. I'll give you that.
Aw, yeah. Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
Should we describe her to the listeners? We
definitely
should. Why?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
At least
hey,
what you're wearing.
I have a stack of Marianne Williamson books. It's like her collection. I have them in the car for you, in addition to the Feminine Mystique.
Uh-huh.
Remind me. I'll give those to you.
And why do I need them?
I don't know. I want to broaden your appreciation for the feminine.
Oh, but I do.
Oh,
I mean, well,
okay.
Yeah, how did you figure that I don't?
Because, I mean, aren't the stories good enough to get a sense of who I am? They don't need to know I'm wearing a black sweater or flip-flops.
Or a very short miniskirt.
Oh, that?
Why wouldn't they want to know?
All right, you guys do your job better than I do. So
yeah. Do it, Sam. Our listeners, they love to have the visuals. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm a good storyteller and I give people a lot of visuals. So they could just, you know, they can close their eyes and they can really imagine
exactly.
Like these things, like the bloody maxi pad being stuck on my fucking back.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sam.
No, I mean, but if you just say, well, you know, she's sexy and she sits here and, you know, I mean, we already know your mind by the things you're saying. But, you know, people want to know, especially on radio. I know when I listen, I always wonder what the people look like, you know.
Mm.
So, but you see, that's the thing. I think you are sensitive, you know. You should be proud of the way you look, you know. And maybe people have perceived you as or approached you only as a physical being, but obviously there's a lot more to you. But it doesn't mean that people shouldn't pay attention to these things.
You make a really good point.
Of course I do. I'm fucking twice your age. I know. I should know better.
You're twice. Oh my god.
No, almost.
You're not twice my
almost.
Age.
Almost.
Almost.
Let me do the adding in this room, buddy. No, he's too young and too cool.
I know he is.
But I actually really appreciate that point. It's something I'm working on right now. I think I went through a very awkward phase going from like college where from a school that was so... You know, I and it was my
everyone has hairy armpits.
No, not at all. Actually, there's some really amazing looking people.
I know, I know. I'm just giving.
But seriously, I think that my experience of it was very internalized and very cerebral. And you know, as an actor, you have to be very comfortable with your physicality. Mm-hmm. So,
and also, like our whole childhoods, you know, we like our mothers are pretty much psycho. And you know, they were always like, "It's your appearance is everything. Your appearance is everything. I mean, that's all you ever have." And so, I kind of grew up internalizing that, being like, "Okay, I'm stupid. My sister's a smart one, and I'm the cute, stupid one. So I have to like look good all the time."
That's terrible.
And I know. Yeah.
And I rejected it. I just was like, "I'm going to school."
My
mom was into education, but I don't think I ever felt. I don't really feel like my intelligence was ever really reinforced. I still question it at times.
Definitely.
But you know, one thing I don't understand about women is sometimes they don't like the attention, you know, and yet they go all out to get that attention, you know. I mean, when you spend time in front of the mirror, putting on your makeup, dressing nice and all that stuff, you know, making sure you have a cleavage or people can see your thighs or whatever, you're trying to get that attention, you know.
So when
you
get it, I actually beg to differ.
Okay,
really,
go ahead.
Really.
Yeah, because when I'm getting dressed in the morning, I am not thinking, oh, you know, I'm hoping people will pay attention to my legs.
No, you're not thinking of that, but it's already ingrained in your subconsciousness. I mean, I don't think you want to go outside and have people not notice you, or would you?
You know something? For about 2 years, I was in a physical state where most people, I don't think, really did notice me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually quite liberating. And I think that that was actually a point in time when I really did change how I thought about how I dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, part of what I'm learning, I'm such a new practitioner to the pagan practice. I'm only a few years in, really. You know, but...
You're a pagan?
Pagan, yeah.
Right.
I am a practicing pagan.
Really?
That'd be a good name for your daughter.
Pagan?
Rhymes with Megan. But we'll get to that in a minute.
But anyway, but like your body is your altar, you know, and how you dress it. And, you know, maybe you put certain colors on because you want a certain, you want to feel a certain way. I know that I feel maybe a little bit more, you know, hidden or less obvious when I'm wearing, say, black as opposed to fuchsia.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, the way you're dressed, obviously you would get attention anywhere you went. So,
how do you figure that?
Because...
what do you notice?
And she does.
Okay. What do I notice? Okay, beautiful face, beautiful long flowing hair. Okay?
I washed it.
Yeah. I mean, you made sure you wore a nice cleavage that really shows... it doesn't show much, but it's...
it's just a hint.
Exactly.
It makes you want to know
it
more.
It piques your interest a little
what
bit.
What is behind that sweater?
Exactly. What's behind the door?
But it's behind door number one.
It's not fitted.
No,
but
it's not fitted.
But that's what makes you even more curious.
But it's a very sexy shirt. And then you have a very skimpy
mini shirt. It's a boyfriend sweater. It's you know, that looks like a man's like V-neck, deep V, boyfriend sweater.
Except
that
men's don't have such deep Vs.
No, never. This is a girl's sweater.
Yeah.
I know, but it kind of has
it
that
does.
Slouchy...
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, yes. It's sort of casual and hanging and stuff, yeah.
Yes.
But, and then you have a very short miniskirt.
It's actually a little too short. I'm looking for a new jean skirt, so
okay,
if you guys know where to find
one. So do you think people would not notice you when you walk around like this? And obviously, you have nice legs. I didn't get to see them, but...
She's got gorgeous legs.
Yeah? Okay.
Thanks,
so
Susie.
I'm sure she does, or otherwise she wouldn't be wearing a mini dress. So,
you know, that's really funny, because when I got dressed this morning, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of chilly, and it's probably going to get hot later. So I'm going to wear my jean skirt, because I'll at least get some breeze there.
Yeah. Yep.
My back and shoulders will be covered, and therefore I won't be too cold. Yeah, that was actually what I was thinking.
Well, excuse me, there's other ways to do this. You could have worn shorts or you know, a
like
longer
shorts.
Skirt.
Shorts look awful.
Yeah, whatever. But the point is, you have to understand, when you wear this, you are dressed for attention. And if you're going to sit here and tell me you're not, then that's bullshit. You know? Then you're not admitting the reality. Okay, would you go out? Would you, like, go out of your way to make yourself ugly so people won't notice you?
No.
Okay.
But I also don't feel like I really went out of my way to be particularly attractive. I will tell you that when I go pick up my boyfriend at the airport at times, mm-hmm. I will make a point of getting dressed up a little extra for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
He's right. So cute.
Well, for your boyfriend,
I want
fine.
Him to notice me for sure.
Well, I'm sure.
But yeah, I mean, even when I'm getting dressed for auditions, I think I'm a little bit more calculated.
But also understated.
And understated as well. Yeah, I really don't feel like I'm someone... Susie, do you feel like you're someone who dresses for other people? I mean, and ironically, did you see our outfits? We're literally wearing the same thing. She's wearing a man's button-down. Literally a man's button-down.
Yeah.
With a ripped jean skirt. And we have the same exact eyeglasses, except mine are gold and hers are silver. The Ray-Ban aviator one.
And so we both hop in the car and we're both just like...
both,
like, you stole my outfit.
On. I was like, what? Were you spying on me? Yeah.
God, I'd give anything to see you do each other.
Oh, God, Sam.
I would. I really would.
Have you ever?
I would give anything
to see you in high heels, I think.
Really? Okay, I would. You know, in fact, one time on Halloween, talking about dressing up, I was married at the time to my first wife, and I decided to dress as a woman.
How many wives do you have?
Have you had? No, only the second time now.
Only?
But, yes. Hmm. Why, is that a lot?
No, you know.
Look, the first time you always fuck up. You're too young, you know. I mean, if you're lucky, you'll stick.
It wasn't a fuck up because you have your two beautiful children.
Exactly. You know, so it wasn't a fuck up. It just was a limited time kind of a thing, you know. Mm. Doesn't have to last forever. But at any rate, you know, so so I dressed as a woman. It was her idea. So
did
I
you shave your legs?
No, I did not. But I put on like fishnet stockings.
Oh,
and stuff.
So the hair was coming out of the
fishnets?
No,
you did not see any fucking hair. Give me
Sam.
A fucking break.
Sam, you can't deny your lineage here, buddy.
Okay, but
you are not known as being like unhairy.
No, but I'm not hairy either. She
let
said,
me see your back.
She said I was hairy. Okay, you know what? Okay, I want you to see my back.
She's dating a guy named Franz who's
no,
like
no,
German.
No, I'll show you my back. Take a look. Not even one fucking hair.
I think it's waxed.
I think it's
lasered.
Are you serious?
Do you laser
no,
your back?
No.
Is that Nair?
No, that's what I'm saying. Look,
look how defensive he gets.
His second wife Nair.
Yeah, because
it,
I don't want to be seen as fucking hairy because I'm not. Okay, I always prided myself on the fact that I'm not.
You look
okay?
Very well groomed.
Thank you very much.
Takes,
well, I am.
He takes
am.
Five showers a day.
Not five, okay. But
no, but he does look very well groomed. He's definitely not a sloppy man.
No, because I've always been concerned with the way I look because it's just, I don't know. I like everything
you feel
to
better.
Look good. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the whole idea behind, like, your body is an altar, is that when you take a little bit of extra time to consider what you're putting on and, like, how something fits your body, you are going to feel better.
Yeah. Not only that, but a lot of things gross me out. Like, for
Susie's
example,
nodding yes.
if I see someone with nose hair sticking out, that grosses me out.
Totally.
You know, hair on the ears.
I'll pluck them out
you
with
know.
My teeth.
Yeah, you know, anything. You know, it's just...
things that can be helped. I guess, because, like, I don't really have... Yeah, I don't really have an
issue.
That's
a big sigh.
I don't really have. I'm sensitive to this because there are certain ailments that people have that
they could totally remedy in a heartbeat, and they just don't give a fuck to do it, and it pisses me off too.
It doesn't piss me off, but it kind of gives me an ick. But then there's also certain things that people have where they don't have as much control over it, like. You know, when I get stressed, I break out in hives, or sometimes I just plain old break out, and it's really frustrating because it's not like I'm dirty, you know? It's not like
right.
I don't wash my face or something.
Right. Mm.
It's just biology is happening in a way that is not
happens.
Agreeing with my
Yeah, it happens,
agenda.
But it's not because you're not groomed. That's the point, you know? And it's not because of that, but like you said, there is a choice, and some people can choose to look nice, you know? And some people, I mean, most...
And that does not mean designer wear.
Men, no, not necessarily. I mean, but if you wear it nice, you know, you wear
Gucci
things.
Gucci shoes.
I'm not wearing Gucci. They're Prada.
You were yesterday. Yeah.
but you know what? What I see with many men is they'll just throw on a big hanging shirt. Okay, like T-shirt, you know, meaningless. You know, a pair of like shorts that look like shit, and some tennis shoes, and that's their idea of getting dressed.
But it's not the material. It's not how old it is. It's actually the cut of what they have on.
I'm going to go with the cleanliness and the cut because Franz only has one pair of shorts. That's it. That's all
okay,
he ever
Franz,
wears.
Franz is not human. Franz is subhuman. Let's drop it.
Yeah, but my point is that many men are not concerned that much with the way they look.
But my boyfriend is, and I'm okay with that.
Oh, okay. can we not hear about your boyfriend anymore? I mean, I live in here with a little fantasy, and she keeps destroying it.
Sam wants to imagine that you're single.
Yes, exactly. I'd like to think that I could get you somehow, but yeah. But
dude,
no,
if you met my boyfriend, you would be so happy for me. He's such
she's
a good
got,
guy.
I'm
she's
happy
got,
for you.
She has
I'm
the worst taste in men. It's even worse than mine, I have to say.
No, this one, you haven't met this one.
I haven't. Okay, I haven't met this one, but I'm telling you, she's like,
I typically
so cute.
Do.
Seth. She had this one guy. She had this one guy.
Oh my God, but what about the one
no, no,
after?
No. Seth. His name is Seth. Yeah, I could
he's
introduce.
And actually, Seth of...
Seth.
Seth, he wasn't a bad guy. He just had his flaws.
Lisp.
He had a slight one. He's, you know what though? Seth is actually a really nice person. Mm-hmm. He is, and he's fascinating to the extent that he's well-traveled, but so not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, no way.
So how long have you been with this boyfriend?
Only three months.
Okay, give yourself some time. But you know what? This is the best time for romance. I mean, the first few months are like awesome, right? Because you can't stay away from each other. You know?
But they also
this
live
like
in different
the butterflies.
Spots. She lives here. He lives in Arizona.
Oh,
So that's kind of nice, too. I love the long-distance thing.
It's been really nice, like, getting to know each other and slowly ramping things up.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I like about it is it's very, very easy. And you know what my favorite thing is about him?
Mm.
Besides the fact that he's great and I really, really adore him. And I'm only supposed to say that if he's listening. But he's like, don't talk about me. No. It seems like it's important to him to be honest to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. Like it seems like he tells me the truth even when it won't make me happy. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that.
Right.
It makes me trust him.
Right. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so how often do you see each other?
Like every 10 days.
Every 10 days.
More or less. I mean, I was there for a week over Labor Day, and I'll be there for 10 days over Thanksgiving. I'm so excited.
Oh, wow.
But
nice.
Yeah, about every other week.
But then you'll get tired of it because you know what happens? Because I had a long-distance relationship. Now, again,
it's
I'm not...
He's such not a pessimist.
No, I'm not.
He's like, then you're going to get sick of him. Then you're going to dump him.
I'm not saying that. I wish her all the best.
Then you're going to castrate him.
I hope she marries him and they're happy. You know, that's not the point.
Just wish us happiness. That's
yeah,
all we
I
want.
I am. But all I'm saying is that these things don't work very well because
what happens is
long distance relationships.
Uh-huh.
Because let's say you're sitting at home now and you're like, oh, I really want to cuddle with someone, you
mm-hmm.
know, or cuddle with my boyfriend, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's not there.
I know.
And then
she
the next
calls
day,
me.
And that's not there.
Then she calls
Why would
me,
you put yourself through
and
that?
And I'll be
you
the filler.
Know?
Really?
Yeah.
He's just that great.
Yeah. Okay.
He
well,
really
wonderful.
Is. And on a spiritual level.
I hate the word great when it describes someone in a relationship. I can't stand it.
You know
what,
though, Susie? I am, as cunning a linguist as I am, mm-hmm. I do not have the words to describe his awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sam's favorite
she's
word.
She's in love. She's in love.
Sam's, I am.
Sam's favorite word is cunning linguist. Can you play the clip for her?
You want me to play the clip?
Play the clip. Just listen to the clip.
Susie's tired of this clip, but we'll play it for you.
Thank you.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow!
I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, LA Talk Radio.
I have so many things to say about that.
Yeah, and that was a poet, you know, that was her poem.
She writes nasty poetry.
Oh, I was going to say, one, she was reading that, and two, I have this hunch that she's over-promising and under-delivering in that.
Really?
I really do.
That, and honestly, if you're really, like, if you're really going to go there with your boyfriend or wife or whoever your partner is, I'm concerned that she actually has to beg her partner to suck on her bosom.
But she's not begging. It doesn't sound like begging.
She's begging to be fucked.
I think I'm trying to quote her.
Oh, did she say begging?
Yeah,
okay.
And beg you to suck on my...
I have to beg Franz for sex sometimes. Like, I'll come home from a hard day of work, and I'm like, please, please, just... Oh. And he's like, no, I'm surfing the internet. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you really just suck. And not the right places right now. I have like just a really quick funny story. I've got to tell it that happened in biology class last night. I'm sorry, this is just too funny. So we're in biology class and we're talking about the different animal kingdoms. And the professor's like, okay, the difference between this animal kingdom and this one is, you know, this one has, you know, like, you know, organized organs, and like it's made up of different tissues and blah blah blah, and this one's made up of collagen. And my girlfriend Ariel was just like, okay professor, I've got a question. So, you know, like, you see all those skin creams and they're out there, and it's like, oh, I've got collagen, so if I take that collagen and like put it on my face, like, will I naturally like get like more plump lips? And, you know, like, is the collagen just gonna like, you know, infuse itself into my body? And the professor's like, no, that's bullshit, da 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 da. So I raise my hand, I'm like, excuse me professor, I was watching this thing on like Oprah or something like a long time ago, and they have this lotion where it's made out of baby, like, penis, baby foreskin. And so, so you take that shit and you smear that all over your face.
The placental EMK stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, so you put that all over your face, and like, what the hell's that going to do? And so then he says something else. And then another girl raises her hand, and she's like, excuse me, professor? So she's like, you know, I read about this cream that has sperm in it. And, you know, that's supposed to be really good for your skin, too. So the professor...
Can you see people jerking off into...
Yes,
can you see people jerking off into a bowl and...
No, listen, guys, listen. So the professor's just like, oh, and he's from Brazil. He doesn't know what to do with this class. Actually, I made a comment once upon a time. He threatened to warm me up with his big stick.
Who, the professor?
Yes. Just
to, I hope he filed a complaint.
No, I love him. I love him.
Yeah. He better give you an A.
I'm getting one. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, but so he actually goes into the biological, like, you know, mechanisms of sperm and how they've got like an acrosome on the head of the sperm that has some kind of like digestive enzyme in it.
So to get through the egg.
So once, if you take that sperm and you rub it all over your skin, he said maybe the digestive enzyme would help break down dead skin cells, you know, sloughing off the dead shit, leaving a brighter appearance. And so then I said, so does that mean, professor, if my boyfriend wants to come on my face, I should let him?
You said that?
I said that.
Oh, my God,
Susie. His face turned bright red. Everyone in the class was like, holy fuck, they didn't know what to do.
Can't believe you said that. Wow.
Oh, my God. It was the funniest thing. I think she's so horrified.
I mean, you're totally out of control,
Susie. This girl totally did that for attention.
Oh, I do everything in this class just to make everyone laugh and not take it seriously and to get attention. It's so funny.
No. But the girl who said, you know, if should she let her boyfriend come on?
That's what
face?
I said.
Oh, that's what you said.
But I said it as a joke in my ditzy, like, dumb Susie voice. I was like, excuse me, so professor. I was like the fourth one to go after everyone else. So my boyfriend wants to come in my face. Like, I should let him.
You know something, though? I don't know that there's anything taboo in a relationship if both partners are consenting.
Are consenting. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, do you like to have cum on your face?
Not particularly.
No, huh?
No.
I don't see that.
You know, it can get in your eye, and then, like, you got to rub your eye, and then your mascara runs. If it gets in your hair,
in your
then
hair,
it's just
it
nasty.
Never comes off.
You know, then you've got to, like, comb it out, and you get dead ends, and then, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
No, not a big fan.
No.
What about you, Chase?
No comment.
You know, you take life too seriously. I got to tell you that. Okay, you got to listen up a little
bit. No, you know, I really don't think I do. So actually, I think I could lighten up some, but I just think that, you know, my sex life is exactly that.
Exactly. Mine. And you're not revealing it, but we just want to know if you like semen on your face. That's all.
No comment.
Okay, no fucking comment. Okay, Susie, next time
like
bring
semen?
Someone
Wait,
a little
Sam,
more open.
Do you like semen on your face?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really?
No, but I like vagina juice, yes.
Really?
Vagina juice.
Yes, I like that.
Oof.
What?
Just the vagina.
It is juice. It is juice.
Oh man.
Yes, with the right woman, it's sweet.
I'll give you that.
Okay. So you asked me. Yes, I love that. Now you answer the question.
Never.
Listen, it's okay.
No,
it's okay.
Sorry.
All right. So I see we can't go anywhere with her with sex. Huh?
I know.
Are we gonna get anywhere here?
You told me to bring a hot chick. I brought a hot chick. Yeah. What else? I'm sorry. She's got a mind too.
I'm a one man whore. Sorry.
Are you?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
A one man whore. I like that.
How many boyfriends have you had in your life? A lot.
Well, define the parameters of boyfriend.
Someone that you only, you give yourself only to them.
How many times have you been a one-man whore?
Yeah.
How many
exactly.
times?
Well, there you go.
That's actually a policy I recently adopted, so, you know.
Yeah. Have you always been a one-man whore? No. That's something you adopted recently.
I the other ones are just so irrelevant.
Yeah.
They really are. As time goes by, you're just like, really? Wow.
I gotta just tell you, like seriously, there's something about being with someone.
Those are cute undies.
Thanks, babe. There's something about being
Can
with
I
someone.
Can I see them too?
No.
Fuck you, I already did.
Go ahead. You have a vivid imagination, Sam.
No, I saw them. I can tell you what color.
Tell me.
White.
Nope. Green.
Okay.
No,
okay,
not.
Red,
they
red,
are too
red.
Green.
No, they're not.
They're like lime green.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, you're colorblind.
All right.
Oh my God! I'll show you the label. I'll show you the color itself. It's like
okay.
daffodil.
No, go ahead. Go ahead now. All right, go ahead. But, so I didn't see.
But there's something about like finding somebody who like is adamant about establishing trust with you.
Mm-hmm.
Stop banging.
I was like, I'm being emphatic.
We know.
There's something about being with someone who establishes trust with you, which is like it's totally erotic. It does make the sex better.
It yeah. really does.
Yeah.
Who's the last guy you trusted that you slept with?
In bed, Franz.
Susie.
What do you mean in bed? What do you have to trust someone in bed for?
I don't know.
You do. You have to trust that like somebody's going to be responsible with their health. You have to trust that somebody is going to be monogamous. You have to trust that they have your best interest at heart because you hopefully are doing the same for them.
I don't know.
I guess
that.
I'm out.
You know what's hilarious?
I just want to trust them. They'll give me an orgasm. That's about
well,
it.
Well, I think that that's required as well. Yeah. And that's what I mean by take care of you in bed. Uh-huh. Sorry if I wasn't being more clear.
No. You said something about trust. And
I think trust too is like if you have trust with your partner, you can have way more exploration in that part of your relationship. Mm, yeah. Whereas if you don't trust your partner,
yeah,
you're just... I don't know. I feel too inhibited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you come across as unapproachable, really. I mean,
really?
Oh, yeah. As opposed to Susie, you're diametrically different.
That's fascinating.
Why?
Yeah.
No, really. Really. Because, I mean, you're not willing to talk about just anything. You know, so
no.
you're sort of like putting up a wall. I mean, I'm not saying that you should or anything. You
no,
know?
I didn't feel like we were
talking about this actually on the car ride over here, just about like, you know, she's like, I wonder if I'm like too difficult with my agent. And I was like, well, what makes you think that you're a difficult, you know, person as far as your agent's concerned? She's like, well, I've got these standards and I'm not willing to compromise on them.
Right, which
and
is cool.
And it's like, well, that's good. And I was like, well, what are they? She's like, well, no nudity for this and for that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, these are her personal things. And it's like, you know, if I were still acting, I would be like, oh, fuck, I'll do anything, whatever. Yeah. No DPs.
And you know what? She would probably get further than I would because of it. But you know, I've actually, most of the characters that I have played have not been the most clothed.
Right.
Like this telenovela I was on, I was prancing around when I was like 17 in mostly a bikini.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did this episode of this one TV show where I had this small part where I played a towel model, which by definition does not wear much, but I don't have an issue with that. You know, it's really, I liked the joke of the scene. It was handled well. It was a good writer and all that other stuff. But I just feel like, you know, I just am not into gratuitous anything.
Yeah.
I think that's a funny word. Gratuity is a funny word.
Yeah.
It is a funny word.
Because people associate it with so many good things, but I could be like, dude, you've got bad breath. When really nothing was... Sam does not have bad breath. He looks very groomed and smells very groomed.
I'm sorry
if that was misunderstood.
No, not
but
at
still,
all.
Like, that's a gratuitous comment. Yeah. And it's given freely. It's what gratuitous means. And not all things given freely are good.
That's true.
Like...
That's true.
Like me.
Like a bruise.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know that you're unapproachable, but maybe conservative. You know, that's what I think. You think you're conservative? Not politically, but, you know.
I don't know, because I think...
I would go reserved.
Reserved.
I think I'm just very specific. Right. I think that I just don't do anything with anyone.
Mm.
So I guess exclusive is the word.
Exclusive.
I'm definitely.
Has it always
exclusive.
Been like that?
She's always been like this very exclusive club that you have to join. Like you've got to know like the secret. You've got to know the secret handshake, and you've got to have the code and like to get into the clubhouse.
Thank you.
Which is one of those things that makes me feel privileged to be your friend.
Thank you, but Susie, you have such a big heart, and
actually,
I trust you.
No, can I tell you something? When I came out to LA for the very first time to visit you, I was actually like, you know what? I'm really fucking surprised she's still my friend. Because, like, I'd gotten so far out of the business. Because everyone that she was introducing me to, oh, this is a movie executive. Oh, this is a producer. Oh, this is a movie star. Oh, this person's famous. Oh, let's have lunch with this lawyer.
I never said so-and-so is famous.
These are the people that
I wouldn't say that to you.
Shut the fuck up. These are the people you're hanging out with. And these are the people that you're introducing me to. And everyone's like, oh, so Susie, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a bartender. I run a drunken sailor bar in Massachusetts. And I get wasted every night. And it was just like, these thoughts were actually going through my head, and it's like, you know what? I'm like, I am by far like the bottom of the barrel, like the low part of the totem pole.
That's not
that
true.
You actually hang out with. I am not.
By what standard?
Just by my own observation of hanging out with you and all the people that you were hanging out with and introducing me to.
But you're establishing a pecking order, and I don't think that you're using my value system.
Well, now I know. Well, your value system is different than mine, on a different level. But I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I was just saying I'm surprised that I wasn't like cut off at the bottom. Somewhere along the lines, just because I had gotten out of the business and wasn't doing anything like spectacular or fabulous with my life at the time.
But I love you.
I know. And that's the only reason you kept me, I feel.
You're like my oldest, coolest friend. What are you thinking?
I know. No, but I'm just telling you, this is what I was like seeing and feeling at the time. And it was just kind of like, you really do have this exclusive Chase Club. And all of the people that were members were just like super fabulous.
That's really so funny to me because I don't see myself that way. But no, okay.
No, seriously. Like all the people you hang out with are like they are certain somebodies on some level.
I think that they're just all passionate about what they do,
and they're all uber successful because of it.
Exactly. But yes. And you will be too.
I already am. Look at me. Live.
Exactly.
I'm loving life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But you know, I think Chase would discuss sex if she weren't attached right now. You know, like you're saying, I don't discuss my sex life, blah, blah, blah. I think if you were like single right now, you'd be talking more freely, which makes sense.
Maybe it is out of respect for my boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, I can speak about it in hypotheticals, but I also don't want to implicate somebody who doesn't have a voice in this room.
No, you don't have to. That's why we're asking about you, not about other people.
Yes, but if I haven't done it with him, then he's only to assume I've done it with other people.
No, that I think we all assume that, yeah. Have you done it with a girl before?
No.
No.
I've been meaning to ask you that too, because that's something like that's never even like come up between us.
No, I've never had a curiosity, and I love beautiful women.
Mm.
I do. I absolutely love beautiful women. I'm actually one of those girls that went in the past when I've dated other people. If I meet my boyfriend at the time's exes and they're not gorgeous or like amazing women, yeah. I'm like pissed.
Really?
I'm pissed. I'm like, are you freaking serious? That's who you freaking dated? What am I doing with you?
That's what I always want to know.
I'm the opposite. I'm like, I think that a lot of women are like, oh my God, she was so gorgeous. I will be like pissed if you haven't been with quality. They better be of like standards.
Yeah. Well, they got to be part of your club, right?
No. Yeah. You see, Susie says that. I think what she's referring to is...
I'm going to get it in the car ride home.
No, not at all. No, I think it's an interesting observation because it's always fascinating when you have the opportunity to see how other people see you.
Yes, yes.
Because I certainly don't see myself that way. Mm. I always... You know, especially growing up, I always saw myself as the person being rejected, a.k.a. the girl pantsed on the football field by the other cheerleader in front of the football team. But I think it just – these things tended to work out well in my favor. Mm. You know?
Where is that girl now? Huh? Huh? What's she doing now?
Yeah, she's probably not on the radio.
She's probably fat and ugly.
You know, I actually hope that she's grown up. That's all. And the other thing, too, is –
She's probably spawned.
Another
generation.
Do you have a lot of friends growing up who got married and have kids?
None of them are married. They all have kids, though.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
A lot of the people I grew up with have gotten married.
Yeah.
So that's you, the whole Florida thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're interested in the picture and the image of being married, but don't really understand it from a spiritual
level. I would agree with that.
When are you planning to get married? I mean, would you do it before you turn 30 if the right one came along?
I don't actually think of it that way.
No.
I feel like, you know, especially for me right now, I feel like I barely have my foot in the door, you know, with a foothold in this, you know, career I'm pursuing with my arts.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like I just need to put my energy there right now. And I guess they're not mutually
exclusive. That's a lame excuse, let me tell you, okay? Because I know people that perform very well while they're married. I mean,
you can get a lot
of support.
It's not that I think I can't be married and working. In fact, I'd prefer to be married and working. I love having a boyfriend. I love being in a good relationship.
Right.
I just think that to really establish that type of relationship, you kind of have to ramp up. It's like it's a new project you're starting.
Right.
And that takes a little extra time, a little extra energy, a little extra consideration. And I feel like the majority of my time, energy, and consideration needs to be on my art right now.
Right.
Like going to classes, becoming a better, you know, artist.
Yeah.
You know, understanding what it is.
No, I understand. Great. But if the right one came along. So but if
he
the
may
right
have
one
already.
Came along. Oh, okay.
He may have
so
already.
You would get married at this age.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I definitely would. I personally don't feel quite ready yet, but I think it's just because of where I personally am.
Right.
And I feel like I have to have a life that's working before I make that type of commitment to somebody else. Yeah. I can't wait to be
Susie Q Homebaker.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you don't have to be, though. I mean, you can be married and still have a career, you know?
I think being married, for me, I would love to be a mother, and I think that is having a career.
I think it has to be both.
Yeah, well,
I do, and I
mean, I could still do the radio, drop the kids off at school, do the radio show, and you know, still be there to like.
I don't think it needs to be full time, but I do think you need to have something that's yours. I think you have to maintain an identity that is, you know, really just yours.
Absolutely,
you know, separate from the kids. I love this saying. What's that saying? Children. I'm going to use a double negative, so please excuse me. Children never fail to not listen to their elders, and they never fail to imitate them, or something along those lines. It's much more eloquent and catchy when it's the actual saying.
Yeah.
But I like that saying. You have to lead by example.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
You've worked with kids before.
I work with kids every day. That's what I'm a nanny.
Oh, that's right.
I leave the radio show and talk about sex all morning, and then I go to pick up the kids.
No, is your boyfriend Jewish too?
He's not. Mm. I'm actually.
You're gonna have a problem with your parents.
I'm actually half Jewish. Or three quarters, really. My dad's half. My mom's full.
Oh, okay. So you are Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay, you are. So now, how would they react to that? I mean, have they given you a hard time any time during your life about being with non-Jews?
I think my mother has a preference that I be with a Jewish guy, but I'm kind of the mindset that it
she needs doesn't give a fuck
to be a spiritual thing. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Mm.
He has to be respectful.
Yeah.
I have to be respectful of him. I have to be able to respect him.
How would you raise your kids without... Oh, you're pagan. Okay, let's get to that real quick because we're running out of time. But you're talking about pagan. I mean, that fascinates me.
Yes,
so
yes.
Tell us a little bit. What is a pagan?
Well, there's so many different definitions of it. But basically, someone who is a practicing pagan is they are an individual practitioner. Mm-hmm. So essentially, a pagan is someone who does not require a priest or another person, essentially, to interpret.
It's not like an institution, like religion.
There's no church. Yes,
right.
It's an individual practice.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much about it. I know this is going to sound weird, but if you pick up The Idiot's Guide to Paganism, it's actually written by a really legitimate writer on the subject.
Right.
It really explains it well.
Maybe we can have him on as an author.
You should. He's amazing. He's amazing. But I actually don't feel like I'm an expert enough to talk about it, but my limited understanding of what paganism is and what it means to me is it is a relationship to nature, capital N.
Mm.
And, you know, I observe the eight turns of the wheel.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of pagan traditions that are very common. For example, did you have birthday cake on your birthday?
Oh, that's pagan.
Did you have birthday cake on your birthday?
Yeah, I suppose.
Did you blow candles out and make a wish?
Yeah.
So pagans, the women, would make cakes as offering, as an offering to, you know, whatever they were making an offering to.
Right.
And they would put, you know, they put the candles on and light them so that the fairy folk will come. Mm-hmm. And you sing and you make a wish and you don't tell anybody. And you have to blow out all the candles so that the fairy folk will, you know, go off and do your bidding. And you have to blow out all the candles because the one candle left will still keep the attracting, will keep attracting the fairy folk.
So there's no, like, central focus figure, like a Jesus or anything like that.
No, but what they do, what pagans do work with is archetypes.
Uh-huh.
And there's also like a general creation myth that I think is associated with it. I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to do the practice an injustice like that.
So how do you become from well,
a Jewish princess.
You weren't a practicing Jew, let's say, right? You were, you know, but how do you go from that to
ever bat mitzvah?
I wasn't. My mom got into a fight with the rabbi.
Oh, that's bullshit. You could have made out like a... Never mind.
Yeah. I did have a really big 13th birthday, though. What it is... My path to it was... It was more of an experience thing. As I mentioned before, I love consciousness theory. I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I took this 9-month seminar... in consciousness theory. One of the women in my group was a practicing witch, and she invited me to Yule. And actually, so paganism is based on a lunar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's so much I could say about this, but it's based on the lunar calendar, as is Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the turns...
No, Judaism is on both the solar and the...
You're right. Okay. It is on the solar and the lunar.
Yeah.
But there's such
strong... Muslim is on the... And the lunar.
On the lunar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's such strong correlations between the religions. So when let's say you guys have, you know, we have Sukkot, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's stuff going on with the pagans.
Hava Nagila.
Yeah.
Hava Nagila.
Susie's like, what the fuck is Sukkot?
Oy vey.
Or like the new year, you know, that around then is, you know, a turn of the wheel.
Time.
Oh, Susie. Yeah.
Carry on.
But Susie, you're Catholic?
Yes.
Were you always Catholic? Did you not ever practice anything else?
I was born and raised Catholic, and I've never practiced anything else.
You know, Catholicism is very similar to paganism, except in the sense that, like, there's feasts and there's like a process. It's very it's very ritualized. Well, it is, and I mean, if you think about what you do, like, for example, Easter.
Yeah.
What do bunnies and chickies and eggs have to do with Easter and the resurrection of Christ?
They bring the candy.
Yeah, I know, but what does that have to do with the resurrection of Christ?
I don't know.
It's aligned with the pagan holiday of Ostara, which is it's the spring holiday of, like, birth and like renewal and fertility and the goddess re-arriving and all that.
I think someone wants to chime in. They've been trying to call, so let's
see. Yippee.
Yeah, good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Good morning. How are you guys? It's Booger.
Booger?
It's Booger.
How are you doing, sweetie?
Oh.
It's E-Dog.
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Are you listening? Can you add to anything that we've been talking about with respect to paganism? Because I feel like I'm struggling here to explain it because I'm so
new. You're doing a wonderful job, actually.
Yeah, actually, I turned off the computer just as you said that segment, so I don't really know what you've said so far.
It feels a little sophomoric to me, and I don't want to be misinforming the masses.
It's okay.
I mean, misinformation is like
I think we get the idea.
The worst.
We get the idea. You're a weirdo.
Yeah. You know something?
She's not a weirdo.
You both are.
There's not a lot of pagans.
You both are weirdos.
She's choosing her own path.
Yeah, we wouldn't ask you.
She's really creating it in her own way.
You know what? The lemming who didn't run was considered weird, too. I'm okay with that.
No, really, we're not judging. It's just I think we got the idea of what it is, you know. And it's just interesting how you ended up with this. So this was through a witch.
It's such an experience. You know what's really funny? I just felt so at home. I really did. Ooh. There was something about, you know, the attention to listening to your own voice and your own intuition and observing natural laws. Like, I think a lot of people think of paganism as being lawless.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it is about personal integrity and observing natural laws, which is something that the Bible does. Like, you should not lie with your neighbor's wife, you know? Why? Because it will hurt other people's feelings. Like, you don't do that.
Right.
It's a natural law.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Who is trying to call you?
I don't know. And why is my the vibrating so loud on the phone? I've never
had
that
before. Take
it off
your lap, Sam.
Could put it on my lap.
That's a good idea. I should put it on the lap. Have people call me during the show like they are now. I mean, fucking, I must have had 10 phone calls while we're doing the show. It doesn't...
Take it off of vibrate and put it on silent. Silent.
I heard... You need to have a phone on.
I heard that there was an iPhone program that you could download. That
yes.
Was, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that what?
What does it do, Susie?
Eric, tell us what it does. You know.
Yes. Eric.
Which one? The
masturbatory tool.
Oh, it makes it vibrate?
Yeah.
Did I just make that word up?
Masturbatory tool?
I could text you from the other side of the room if you kept it in your pocket.
You can coin.
I see. And it starts to vibrate. That's a good idea, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's pretty good. A portable vibrator. Always at the ready.
Okay, Susie dropped hers in the airport once.
To the iPod itself, so it goes in correlation with the music piece.
Wait, Eric, I love you, but I really want Susie to tell the story about how her vibrator was discovered in her purse at the airport.
Which time?
Oh my God! Wait, I have a great story. When I was moving,
I know I get to see you, so I just wanted to tell you guys that I love you, and I'll talk to you all soon.
We love you.
Bye,
E-Dog.
Thank you.
Bye.
Do you want an embarrassing story?
Give it up.
You'll like this one because it's slightly sexual.
Okay.
So.
Me? Sexual stuff? No.
I was given as a gift by a girlfriend one year, because I didn't have a boyfriend for a very, very long time. I was given a vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was moving from my apartment in Beverly Hills. And a family friend had gotten me a mover as like a housewarming gift, because I needed help at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I have this very large drop drawer dresser from the 1950s, which mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with, but they're very large, very hollow, and they're made of wood.
Okay.
And they started moving the dressers, and the guy, I had taken all the clothes out, and for whatever reason, they were like, no, we're going to move the thing whole instead of taking the drawers out, stacking them, and like moving the thing. They left it all in there, and I guess I had forgotten to empty out one of the drawers, and it happened to be the drawer where I hid my vibrator.
Oh, no.
And the thing just started vibrating. I was like, oh, that's my phone. No, because it was, like, on pulse mode. It wasn't.
Oh, no.
It was on pulse mode. And then, of course, they find, like, a bra on the couch.
The worst is when you wake up and you've got like your dirty underwear like next to your vibrator and you're just like, oh no.
And it's bloody. Just kidding.
Oh no. Oh God.
Yeah. She had to go there.
Sam, yeah. You don't see, I just don't want to objectify the process of getting off. It's got to be real.
Okay.
You're not objectifying it, because what you're doing is you're mixing sex with something else, and I'm not sure what it is
yet. That time of the month.
But sex is just sex. I mean, you can talk about it. It's free. And you're just a little uptight about it. Yeah.
I want to tell you this one story. So, actually, I told this story in biology class last night. I had a plane I had to catch, and I always miss a lot of planes. And so I was actually really drunk the night before, and so my boyfriend at the time was like, Susie, why don't you go and park at the airport and sleep at the airport? And I said, oh my God, that's a brilliant idea.
So who suggested that, Franz?
Drew. This is the Canadian boyfriend. So I drive to the airport, and I park in long-term parking. But so now I've got the whole night to go, and so I didn't think that he actually meant to go into the airport and sleep. I was like, I'm going to sleep in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I sleep in my car, drunk in my drunken stupor. I actually wake up the next morning, having missed the plane, my seat is broken, and I've got my dirty underwear like next to me on the seat. I've got one leg up on the window, and my skirt,
gynecological.
If the windows had not been so steamed,
uh-huh.
you know, either from the great sex I had with myself or from, you know, just the condensation,
uh-huh.
it would have looked like I had been raped.
Really?
My seat was like, you know, I'm passed out. My arms sprawled everywhere. My legs spread with my leg in the air. You know, my hand in my crotch.
See, you really should not sleep in your car. You could suffocate like that.
Well, seriously, something could have happened.
That must have been some orgasm if you fell asleep right after that.
Oh, you have no idea. I don't know if I fell asleep
or
passed out.
Do women fall asleep after orgasms? I don't experience
that. I usually get more excited. I want more sex after that. I'm like, okay, let's go again. Here we go.
But guys fall asleep. What is that?
I don't know. I think that's just a myth.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I never do.
But vibrator stories are just the best. I love them. I really do.
Yeah. They're just funny. Especially when you're going through the airport and they think you're threatening Homeland Security.
Yeah. I know. And it's like, no, really, I just want to get off. Please, please don't touch that, sir. Do you have your rubber gloves on? Every time they're like, ma'am, we need to go through your bag. And I was like, oh, God bless you.
And they're taking like your Bach Flower Essences Rescue Remedy along with your vibrator. You're like, you don't understand. I need those on the plane. They relax me.
I just called you Franz almost. I'm sorry, Sam.
Yeah, that's okay.
Chase was actually the girl that I was on the plane with going from Florida to New York when I mounted the guy sitting next to me, the stranger.
I was passed out.
She was passed out, and I mounted the guy next to me because I was afraid of the turbulence. And he was pretty good looking. And so
he was a male ballet dancer.
He was a male ballet dancer.
But you mounted him?
We started making out, and all of a sudden we go to get off the plane, and he was 5'1".
Mm. It was hilarious. Oh, yeah. You guys didn't take it into the bathroom?
No. Remember, I didn't want to. I was scared, and I was like, what if he really just had to pee? And he didn't really want me to go into the bathroom and follow him.
Now, you see, Chase, you would never do something like that, right?
Nope.
Yeah, you see? And that's why it's cool, because
I'm
you guys are different.
I'm too much of a germaphobe.
Well, I don't think it's that. I just think you don't up sex as easily as Susie.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
18. I was actually raped the first time.
Oh, that's awful. Mm. That piece of shit motherfucker.
I know.
He's such a pussy.
I know. He'll fucking get what's coming to him if he already hasn't, but...
I was much younger than
Susie. Sam was horrified.
Yeah, I mean, why did
I was also in the lesbian boarding school at the time. Or
that's
for years.
Right.
So, you know?
But, yeah.
Guys weren't, like, that accessible.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. Way to end the show on a downer, Susie.
Yeah.
No.
Buzzkill.
Not a buzzkill. You are an idiot!
Somebody take these buttons away from him.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but at any rate, so, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're more reserved and everything, which is beautiful in its own way. I mean, I want you to understand I'm not criticizing or judging anything.
I am much more reserved than Susie today.
I think it makes you sort of, like, mysterious.
Yeah,
you know?
Interesting.
And
Susie's just really, really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But if I had to choose, I would chase Susie because it's easier.
Oh, you know, I don't know if I agree
kidding,
with that.
I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Susie may
she's
seem,
cuter. She's cuter.
She definitely is. Susie may seem like she would be an easier girlfriend or wife. I don't know. I think it depends on the guy. And yeah. I also think it depends on what you deem easy.
Yeah. What I deem easy is that Susie approaches guys and just... makes out with them.
I approach my boyfriend.
Really? And
kind
make
of.
Out with them?
No. Well, okay. I did. I actually did make the first move. The
online.
Actually, this is a hilarious story.
Mm-hmm. We've got 1 minute.
Yeah, we're out of time. Yeah.
Oh, and I missed the chance to talk about my boyfriend.
Okay, well, you'll
probably hating me.
You'll have to come back, yeah.
Sorry.
But,
yeah. You'll have me back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why not?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, sure.
2 hours.
But you can't talk about your boyfriend anymore.
Okay.
Okay, you're ruining the fantasy here. At any rate, Chase, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
It's
been
so great.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I always love when Susie...
This is how I wake up every morning.
Yeah?
Yes. Not 2 minutes of breathing on your bed?
No, but I'm going to start doing that, you know? Maybe I'm going to post something on my ceiling. That way, when I open my eyes, I'll see it. That'll be like, breathe, bitch!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. And we'll have to thank Dr. Woodson Morell for his book,
cool.
The Source. He really gave us some interesting information here. And I don't know that I'm into health, but I need to be, you know? I'm starting to feel very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I've always eaten anything I want, you know, smoke cigarettes, do this, do that. And now it's catching up with me, you know? So,
you're no spring chicken.
I'm no spring chicken anymore, let me tell you. But thanks for saying I look young and everything. That really makes me feel good, so... Because I'm going through middle age right now, and I'm starting to think, you
get
know,
a motorcycle.
Yeah.
or a yellow Corvette.
No, I just need
those are the worst. Do not get a yellow. I will quit this show in a heartbeat if you get a yellow fucking Corvette.
No. I would not get a sports car to make up for that. No. I just, all I would need is a 22-year-old on my arm, and I would feel very young.
Sam, I'm 26. You got me, baby.
Okay, you got it.
But you have that woman twice. It's your wife.
That's right.
Aww.
That's right.
Threesome. See?
Yeah, there you go, you see? Okay, Chase, do you have any website, anything where people can find you, or you don't want anybody to find you?
I don't want anyone to find me like that. They can find me through Susie. Yes. You can get to Susie, you can get to me.
If you have there a burning desire to get to Chase, you got to come through me first.
There you go. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for the beautiful mini dress.
Thank you.
And thank you for the mini dress too, Susie.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And
we'll see you tomorrow.
That's about it, right?
I gotta pee.
Any,
hurry up.
Any tests or anything?
Big stats test tomorrow. Freaking out.
Okay, go pee. We'll see you tomorrow.